Good morning. Sometimes it's when we change things, it's, what's happening? Well, nothing is happening. You're fine. Just enjoy it. Enjoy God's presence. He's here with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. God, Jesus promised that when we gather in His name, He will be among us, right? So enjoy God's presence today. And as we come to His Word, I pray that you may open your heart also, open your mind to receive what He has for us. God has a word for you, for me, for us this morning. Last Wednesday was my dad's 80th birthday. And this is my dad. And everyone says that we look alike, right? So have you seen those apps? Then you put a picture of you and you want to see yourself in 30 years. Well, I don't need it. This is me. I don't need the app. And that's how it should be, right? I should look like my dad. And my mom still laughs. About the time I was 2 or 3, there's another picture of me. That was me. You shouldn't laugh. You should say, aw. Yeah, that's a better reaction than laughing at me. Yeah. Yes, that was me. It wasn't AI adding some hair to my head. Well, I went to the barber and I asked for the same haircut that my dad had and said, I want this haircut. And I showed him my forehead and I wanted to be like my dad, right? And this is my question for you today. Are you looking more and more like your heavenly Father? Do you look like Him every day, more and more? Can people tell that you are a son or a daughter of God when they see you? They say, oh, yeah, that's a son of God. That's a daughter of God. Can they see that? You know, I have not done anything to resemble my dad physically. It's in my genes. We're both good looking. I know that. Yeah, it's that's who we are. We cannot deny it. But you know something I have worked on? Imitating some of the characteristics that my dad has. He loves the Lord. And I have seen that through the years. And I want to be like him in that way. He loves people. He has served God's people his entire life since he knew the Lord. And I want to do that too. He has been serving with everything he has had. And I want to do that too. I'm trying to follow his example. Our identity in Christ is something that has been given to us. It's like our genes, right? It's not something that you can earn. It's simply something that you receive. Your identity, when you come to Christ, when you receive, when you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's given to you. You become a child of God. You didn't do anything. Your only merit was to believe. That's it. Nothing else. But that's not all. That's just the beginning and the foundation of your relationship with Christ. There is much more than that. You know, one of the confusions that I have seen in believers, in us, is that we think that once we become believers, it's done. Everything is done. That's not right. That's not what I see in the Bible. That's the beginning, the starting. Yes, the most important moment in our lives when we give our lives to Jesus. But then there is a process that is starting to become more like Him, to be transformed, as we saw last Sunday with Brent. He was sharing about the transformation of the mind. That's the beginning, but it's not the end. There is a process that is going on. The spiritual birth is the first stage in our relationship with God, but it's definitely not the last one. And that's what we're going to be exploring this morning. How do we grow in our relationship with God? How do we become more like Jesus? How do we look like our Heavenly Father, our Lord? And last week, Brent, he was sharing with us about the transformation of the mind and how this is key to growing as disciples. Not conforming to the world, but being what? Were you here? Did you pay attention? Being transformed, right? In the renewing of our minds. And again, we should all understand that this is not a linear progression. It's not a checklist. It's more like a rhythm. And my question for you, are you living in this rhythm of this spiritual transformation of your life, becoming more and more like Jesus? You know, as we know him, as we spend time with him, as we admire our Lord, as we delight in his presence, we look more like him. And our actions are going to reflect more and more his influence. It's amazing how we tend to acquire sayings or behaviors of those around us. I don't know if you have a saying that you didn't used to have, but you were with some friends and you started to repeat that saying, right? Or that way. When I talk with Hispanic people, and I remember being pastor of Iglesia Calvario, and they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "From Spain." I said, "Well, you don't have that accent, the Spaniard accent." I said, "Well, that's because I was in Costa Rica for 18 years. And I have told you because I always blame the taxi drivers because they charged me more when they knew that I was from Spain. So I started to imitate the Costa Rican accent. And now I don't know what accent I have. It's a weird one. I'm kind of a hybrid. It's fine. Trying to imitate the Iowan accent. And it's not working well. I think that I came here being too old already. At least I don't say y'all, right? It's, because I know that's not from Iowa. It's not a region. And I was thinking, anyway, that doesn't matter. Are you becoming more like Jesus? Can people see Jesus in you when they are around you? Can they see that you have been with him, that you look like him more and more in your life? Or are you the same one that gave his life to Christ 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Is there any kind of transformation in your spiritual life as you spend time with him, as you know more about him, as you try to imitate him in your life? You know, we grow, and Brent said this, one of the ways to measure if you are growing or not is by how much you are loving God, loving others, and loving the world. That's a good way to test your spiritual growth. Are you more loving in your life? Or are you the same grumpy person that everyone knows? Well, today, this is what we're looking at, specific elements of this spiritual growth in this process of becoming like Jesus. Let me pray one more time. God, we need you. We need your word. We need your transformation in our lives. Lord, there are things that we can do, and we try to do our best, opening our hearts, setting time to listen from you, setting time to be in your presence, trying to follow you, being obedient. But there are things that we cannot do. We cannot change our own hearts. That's only you who can do that. Will you come this morning and do what you can only do? Please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go to the letter of Colossians. We were studying this letter 2 years ago. We're going to go to chapter 3. And I'm going to be talking about taking off the old self and putting on the new self. And we're going to see characteristics specifically connected to Jesus' life and his example for us. So if you have your Bible, if you need a Bible, raise your hand and we're going to bring one to you. We're going to have some of the text on the screens. and you can open your device also and follow the verses. Colossians 3, and the first point that I have this morning is that to become like Jesus, the first requirement, you need to be raised with him. You need to be raised with him. Anyone needs a Bible, raise your hand and we'll provide one. So verses 1-3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Essential verses for us. Can we keep those on the screens, please? Everything starts with our identity, with your identity, who you are. You know, you cannot ask an apple tree to produce oranges, right? We all understand that. You cannot ask a soy plant to produce corn. We all understand that. You cannot ask a non-believer to look like Christ. We should all understand that. People who have not been raised with Christ won't look like Christ. If you want to become like Jesus, first of all, you need to surrender your life to him. You need to die to your old life. You need to receive the new life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, as we were celebrating this morning during communion, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And when we believe in him, we receive salvation. And now a new life starts to follow him. Again, you cannot become like Jesus until you are born again, until you have died to your old life and been raised with Christ. Becoming like Jesus is not following a philosopher or a religious leader. Becoming like Jesus is a new life. That's why he said you have to be born. Okay, you are with me, okay? You know that how this works. It's not like you are going to be waiting for the speech. You have to participate. You have to be born again. There you go. Good job. And this happens, again, when you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross. And I'm going to be very specific. When you believe, not when you do, when you believe, that's the only thing we can do. That he died on the cross for our sins, that God raised him from the dead. When we confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, that he is the creator, that he is the owner, that he is the leader, that he is the one that I submit and I surrender my life to. When you do that, there's a new life that comes to you. You become a new creature. New creature. That's when your process to become like Jesus starts. Now, if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, if you consider yourself a Christian, because many people say, I'm a Christian, well, you should ask yourself this question. Are you really following Jesus? Have you truly decided to become like him? Yes, it's about believing and then following him. Come, follow me. That was the invitation that Jesus did to his disciples. And if that's the case, your expectations on this world should never be about having a better life, a more meaningful life coming from the systems of this world. You know, many times we say, yes, I have believed that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I'm following him, but I'm putting my trust in the government. I'm putting my trust in the system. I'm putting my trust in my job. I'm putting my trust in my family. I'm putting my trust in my kids. I'm putting my trust in myself. You are following the systems of this world. And that's not how it works for followers of Christ. You should not set your expectations on this world because it's going to disappoint you. Let me tell you something that I have experienced many, many times. You know, as I said, I was born in Spain. And we have a picture of my three flags. And you will say, well, the American one should be the only one. Yes, I'm American now, so that should be above every other. But who I am is this. It's a mix of things. Born in Spain, lived 18 years in Costa Rica, and became a citizen in Costa Rica, came here 13 years ago almost, and became a citizen, an American citizen. And I hope that there is not a war in between those countries, because I don't know how to fight. That's the problem. That I don't know what a weapon is, so I'm useless. Doesn't matter. But you know how I feel many times? That I don't have a country. I feel that I don't belong fully. Like, you were born and raised, and you ate corn since you were zero, and so that I can tell that I didn't. So that's why the accent, and I think it's connected to the corn and the soybeans. And when I'm in Spain, when I go back with the mission trips, you know how I feel, and I have been with many of you. I don't fully feel a Spaniard. I feel like I'm an alien in my former country. And when I go to Costa Rica, the same. And that reminds me that that's how our lives should be. We shouldn't feel comfortable in this world, because we don't belong here if we have been born again. We belong to heaven. So if you feel very comfortable here, take a look at your life and how you're doing things, because probably you're forgetting about your true identity. Our calling is not to feel comfortable here. If you don't feel that tension, something is not working well. We are citizens of heaven. And we need, again, to be very careful to not to feel too comfortable on this earth. Be careful about not to try to find what you only have in your real home. I know that the accent could be improved, but that's my statement. If you keep trying to find something here on this earth that you'll only find in heaven, you're going to be disappointed all over and over. So this tension is something that we all should experience. Because if we search in this world for something that is not here, we're going to feel like we're failing. And there is something essential to understand. Let's go back to the verses, please, verses 1 to 3. And take a look at the verb here. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. And grammar works the same in Costa Rica, Spain, and here in the States. Have been raised means this is a passive verb. It's not something you have done, right? You didn't raise yourself. Something that has been given to you. And let's go to verse 3. For you died, and your life, that's something you did. But your life now is what? It's hidden. Did you do that? No, it was given to you. It's another gift. God hide your life with Christ in him. You are secure in him. Not because you are great, but because he is great. It's a gift. It's a blessing. This is your identity. It's not your merit. It's a gift. It's not something that you have earned, has been given to you. So that's my first point. Think about your identity. You can become like Jesus if you have been raised with Christ. So starting from our identity, Paul moves now to the next step. What do we set our attention on now? Where do we fix our hearts? And this is my second point. To become like Jesus, your heart and your mind must be set on the things above. Have you noticed how easy it is to start seeking comfort instead of setting your mind on things above? Every day we are bombarded by messages like, this is what you need to feel happy. This is what you need to feel more comfortable. This is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need. And no one tells us, this is what you need. Set your eyes on things above. Set your heart on the things above. And this word above is not just about the space, the place, heaven. Paul here is talking about a reality that is above. This reality is superior. It's better. It's amazing compared with this world. Set your eyes, set your hearts, set your minds on the things that are the best ones. Not on this world, because this world is going to keep disappointing you. And what is in view here is a complete reorientation of existence. Every day when you wake up, what is your purpose? Why do you live? You live to work, to have more, to experience more things, to have more, I don't know, comfort or pleasures, or where is the purpose in your life? Paul is saying this should be the purpose in your life. The things above. The eternal. The things that are not going to change. The superior things. Things that are going to give you real and true meaning and purpose. That's where you should set your eyes and your mind and your heart. Now, important here, very important. Paul is not telling us to detach from the world. Because that's the way that some believers have understood this text. Oh, we should isolate, we should create our own bubble and be all worshiping God all day long and reading the word. Paul is not saying that. Actually, when Jesus was praying to his Father about his disciples, this is what he said. John 17:15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. You know, when we believe in Jesus, God could take us to heaven right away, right? Saying, okay, these people are saved. I'm going to take them with me so they don't corrupt, so they don't fail, so they don't sin anymore. And they're saved. They're done. I'll keep working on other people's lives. But that's not what he does, right? At least not what I understand. When you believe in Christ, you keep living here in this earth. You keep having your normal life. Now, something has changed in your heart. You have a different purpose. You have a different meaning. You have a different mission. You don't live for yourself. You die to your old self, and now you have a new self to become more like Jesus and to be his representative on this earth. And I think it's a very serious danger for believers to detach, to isolate themselves from the world. Because when that happens, how are we supposed to shine? When we are disconnected from the world, how are they going to believe if there is no one who preaches them? How are they going to know that there is good news if no one is there to tell them? So when we think about our relationships, many times we're just surrounded by other believers. And that's great in a sense. And it's awful in another sense. In a sense, great, because you are supported, you are cared for, people are with you, you can be stronger, but in a sense, you are not shining where the darkness is. Does it make sense? You are sleeping. No, you're not. Oh, you're here. It's challenging for me. It doesn't happen naturally. I need to do my best to do this. So what Paul is saying is that we have to understand that this reality is inferior. It's not life-giving. It's not fulfilling. There's no way to find satisfaction for our souls in earthly things. But look at verse 4. Verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, there's a day when we will be reigning with Christ, when everything will make sense. We'll be in glory. And I don't think that we understand what it means. We'll be in a perfect existence forever. But that day hasn't come yet. In the meantime, as disciples of Jesus, we're on a mission. It's not done yet. As disciples, we have a double purpose, I think, in this world. As we set our hearts and minds on the things above, we need to understand, number one, that we are in a process of being transformed into the image of Christ, being more like him. So the number one process for you is to become like Jesus. That's what you should be focusing your life every day. Am I becoming more like Jesus? Do I look like more like him? Not just your identity. I know that you are a believer. If you have received Christ, if you have believed, yes, you're a son or a daughter of God. Great. But now you have a process to become like him. Some people call it sanctification. It's the process to imitate our Lord. And number two, we're also responsible for making disciples of Jesus. We have a mission to go and make disciples, people who are transformed in his image. At the end of the day, that's what God is looking for. People who become his nation, his holy nation. Yes, set apart, that look like him. And that's our mission. And it's not just a theological concept. It's very practical. As disciples of Jesus, grounded in our identity in Christ, and based on what has been given to us, we grow in our way of living focused on God's purposes. This is my question for you. Are you focused on God's purposes? Or are you focused on your own purposes? Based on who you are, this is how you live. And again, this is very, very important. Based on who we are, this is how we live. It's not the opposite. You don't do in order to be. You are, and then you do. And the order and the meaning is very important. Because there are people trying and trying and trying to become someone, and that's not how it works. You remember your identity. You go to the Bible to understand who you are in Christ. And then you adjust your behavior to your identity, to follow him. Number three, to become like Jesus, we take off the old self and we put on Jesus' clothes. As we fix our hearts in Christ, the heavenly focus changes how we live here and now. You know, Paul used a vivid image for this change. He's saying, taking off the old self and putting on the new self. We have a new identity in Christ. But even with that new identity, do you still stumble? Do you still sin? No, you don't? I do. So how does it work? If you are new, if you have a new identity, if you are a new creature, why you keep falling? Why do we keep sinning? Well, Romans 6 says, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And in verse 6 that we don't have on the screens, and this is something that we sing sometimes, we are no longer slaves to sin. That's what changed. Before Christ, you were a slave of sin. Everything you did was sinning. That was your nature. That was you were broken in that way that you couldn't get rid of sin. And that's what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross to free you for the chains of sin. So now you are free to choose if you're going to follow him or you are going to go back. We have been set free from the dominion of sin in our own lives, but it's still our responsibility to choose a life according to our new identity. Do you see the difference? And I think that's why there's a lot of frustration in a lot of believers. And still why some people say, you said that you're a believer, but you're still sinning. I saw that you lied or you did this. Yes, there's a difference. When you don't have Christ in your life, you're a slave of sin. But when you became a believer, those chains were broken. You were set free And now you have to choose according to your identity. You have been washed, but you need to come back and follow your master, your Lord. I really like verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Why? Because none of this matches with our identity. Yes, we used to live in sin, but not anymore. We have died to that kind of life, and we have been raised to a new life. Let me illustrate this with this way. Can we have the picture of the dogs? Just imagine that those two dogs are inside of you. I mean, depending on how big you are, they will fit or not. But that's your flesh and your spirit. Who's going to win in that fight? Depending who you're feeding. If you keep feeding your flesh, don't expect your spirit winning the fight. If you're every day thinking about the earthly things, your flesh will win. Yes, you are a son or a daughter of God. You are a new creature. You have a new identity, but you are feeding your sinful nature. You want your spirit to win? Feed it with the word of God, with spending time with God, with seeking or setting your eyes, your hearts, your minds on the things above. Stop thinking about the earthly things. Otherwise, you're saying, oh, I sinned again. I sinned again. Why? Well, God, you said that you set me free. Why am I sinning again? And God's going to say, "You, what are you doing? You are feeding your flesh. Yes, you are my son. You are my daughter, but you are feeding your flesh. That's not what I expected from you. That's not what I wanted from you. And you have the Holy Spirit." So the more you feed your spirit, the more you will become like Jesus, and the more your flesh will be weak. I'm not saying that you are not going to sin again. What I'm saying is that you're going to be stronger spiritually. And yes, you're going to sin less. And that's the process of sanctification, to become more like Jesus. So if you are stuck in your spiritual life, something is wrong. If you are sinning the same way, the same sins like 5 years ago, something is wrong. You need to review where you're setting your eyes, your hearts, your minds. What are you feeding every day? And again, I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect in this earth, because we won't. But we should become more and more like him every day if we are feeding the Spirit. You're going to become spiritually stronger, and you'll be more and more focused on your purpose, and you'll be a better disciple. So this is what he says, verses 7 to 9. Tear off, read off those things. You used to walk in these things, in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And here's the key, verse 9, second part in 10. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This is the key. When we believed in Jesus, we were given a new identity. But now we are responsible of taking off and putting on. Taking off the old self and putting on the new self. And our knowledge is renewing who we are, the transformation of the mind, as we saw last week, in the image of our Creator. Again, the process is not done. It's not finished. Your identity is secure, but it's not fully revealed yet. If the old garments of sin no longer feed us, what should we wear instead? Paul shows us the wardrobe of Christ himself. Look at verses 12 to 14. Again, it's another reminder, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, this is very interesting. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And it's a tension, I know. Because I decided to follow Jesus. Yes, he chose me. Yes, both. God's chosen people, holy, not because you are perfect, but because you have been set apart. Jesus, God chose you for his purposes. He set you apart. He made you holy. So you are chosen, you are holy, and you are dearly loved. Again, based on your identity, now clothe yourself. That's something you do. Everything you have received, great. Now do according to that. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And let me go quickly with these attributes, because they come from the very character of Jesus. And I want you to see how this comes from the very person of Christ. Compassion. You know what compassion means? It's something that is moved in your guts, inside of you. It's coming from within. When you feel or you identify with the pain and the suffering of other people. You remember when Jesus felt compassion? He saw the multitudes and they were hungry and he felt compassion. Something inside of him. He felt compassion for those who were sick. Those who were rejected. He said, for the crowds that were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved inside of him. When we become like Jesus, we stop looking at our belly button. We stop looking at ourselves and saying, oh, poor me. I am so bad. I need so much, so many things. You stop looking much at yourself and you start feeling with God's heart for people. That's something that happens in your life when you're following him. We care for those who suffer beyond whether they look like us or not, beyond whether they think like us or not. We feel compassion for them. Compassion is an attribute of Jesus and it should be a distinguishing mark of his followers. So this is my question for you this morning. Who around you this week might need that kind of compassion? Who does need your compassion this week? Kindness. Kindness, the gracious sensitivity towards others, is triggered by genuine care for feelings, for their feelings and their desires. We see Jesus' kindness when the kids were approaching him. And he just was receiving them. We see his kindness and his compassion for those in need. I see in a special way his compassion when he were touching the lepers, people that were sick. Are you willing to do that? I'm not saying that you have to go and find a leper nowadays. But what I'm saying is, are you willing to come close to those who are probably in sin and show them God's love? Are you willing to identify with them so they can see Jesus in you? Do you show Jesus' kindness to those around you? Because, again, kindness is not just shown in our actions, but also in the person we are, the people we are. Can other people see Christ in you? Paul talks about humility, right? Being clothed with humility. Jesus humbled himself, becoming a human, becoming a servant, dying, and even dying on a cross. He washed the disciples' feet. He said, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know, we're in a world of self-promotion. We are in a world where the goal is to climb the ladder no matter what. You keep going up. The goal is to become leaders who scream louder, show more arrogance, and bully those around them. That's what the world does. That's not who Jesus is. And that's not what is expected from us. Being humble in this world is not attractive. but it's attractive on Jesus' eyes. That's what he wants from his people. So how big is your pride? How big is your ego? The invitation today is surrender it to Christ and become humble as he is. Gentleness. Again, and this is not the same as to be weak or soft. You can be gentle and still tell the truth in love. Jesus was gentle with that woman that was caught in adultery. And he said, "Who's accusing you?" "No one." "Okay, go and sin no more." He was gentle with this lady. That's what she needed. But she needed the truth. Go and sin no more. "Who's accusing you?" "Me neither." Truth in love, that's gentleness. You have to share the truth of God in love and show his heart for them. Does that describe your tone with people around you? Patient that is willing to endure wrongs. Patient that waits. Patient that provides opportunities for change. Patience that believes the person can do differently. Patience that does not rush. Patience that does not force. Patience that does not threaten. That patience. Jesus showed patience with his disciples, giving them so many opportunities. And they were failing, and he was giving them more chances to learn, to grow, to change. God is patient with this world. Where might you need to show God's patience today for those around you? Forbearance and forgiveness. This means understanding and even expecting that my brother and my sister are not perfect. Those around me are not perfect. They're going to fail as I fail too. Forbearance is not tolerance, as this world is teaching, that you have to respect and accept whatever others believe. Forbearance means that there is a truth, there is a God who is holy, and that we have all fallen short of his standards. And that makes us sinners. We are all in that category. And if Jesus, who never sinned, was able to bear with us and forgive us, we should do the same with those around us if we are truly his disciples. Is God bringing someone to your mind probably right now that you need to forgive or forbear with? And finally, the last characteristic, the last piece of clothes that you need to wear, love. As those who have been loved by God, those who are called to be loving of others, this is the bond of perfection. If there is love, the love of God, the true love, this is why we have lived to love, because this is the key. If we have real love, Jesus will be exalted. If we have love among us, multitude of sins will be covered. If we don't have love with us, doesn't matter what we do, we're failing. And when some people have said, "Live to love what?" Well, go to the Bible, it's pretty clear. Love God, love each other, love the world. But love is the key here. So these are some qualities, some attributes that Jesus incarnated. And we are called to develop in our own lives. Again, these are not self-help goals that you say, "I'm going to be more loving because I want to be a better person." No. I want to be more loving because I want to imitate my Father in heaven. These are signs that Jesus is truly being formed in us. So yes, you can go back to this list. You can ask yourself, am I more kind? Am I more loving? Am I more gentle? Am I forgiving more than last year or not? To see if you're growing or not in your relationship with him. Keep in mind, salvation is a gift, but transformation is a purpose. And it's our response and our responsibility. Salvation has been given. The transformation, becoming more like Christ, is something that we need to pursue. So this is my challenge for you this morning. Keep growing. Keep putting your faith setting your eyes, your hearts, your minds on the things above, until the world sees your resemblance to your Father. And they can say, yes, they are children of God. I can see Jesus in them. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for your word. So challenging, at least for me. And I pray this morning that will be challenging for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, that we may remember who we are in you. That we may remember the identity that has been given through grace alone. That we don't deserve. That we haven't done anything to earn it. That you loved us so much. You chose us. You cleaned us. And you made us your children. Lord, but help us, based on that identity, to become more like you. To surrender our lives more to you. To feed every day the spirit that you have set in our lives. And to put to death all those sinful behaviors. Lord, help us to love more. Help us to be more kind, to be more compassionate. Lord, help us to be more gentle. Help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Lord, this is not something that we could do by ourselves. And that's why we're praying this morning. We are opening our hearts. Would you change our lives? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.